B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Come out of the college rankings and at least take a position where you wouldn't even have to worry about calling plays. You wouldn't have to worry about drafting some quarterback. You have a pretty damn good quarterback, an offensive line, running back, and all that. So why might this position be unattractive? You see other names get hired in other positions around the league. Eagles still looking, as, by the way, someone has taken their name out of the running. We know for a fact. There's a report out there that Mike Kafka said no to the position, or that Andy Reid, Mike Garofalo, as a matter of fact, the NFL Network, has also put out the report that Andy Reid blocked him. Which is another possibility. He didn't do that with Doug Peterson. He basically said, no, take Doug. He's right here. Have him. So we'll get the latest from Adam Schefter. But first, we'll tell you how you can win up to $10,000 in our 5K a day cash giveaway in the Trust the Contest.
97.5 The Fanatics Trust the Contest. 5K a day free money giveaway.
Presented by the New Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code GREEN.
This hour's keyword is happy. Happy. Enter the keyword happy on the Fanatic app, 97.5thefanatic.com, or by texting happy to 45911 by 8:15 this morning. We'll call you if you're randomly selected, and you'll win $1,000. Everyone that enters on our app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Rules for this nationwide contest are available at 97.5thefanatic.com. Enter the keyword happy on the Fanatic app, 97.5thefanatic.com, or by texting happy to 45911 by 8:15 this morning. Our Fanatic Trust the Contest 5K a day cash giveaway is presented by the all-new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code GREEN. Good luck. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit PAWorkInjury.com. And on the line with us right now to give us the absolute latest in all things NFL, and he's brought to us by the wonderful people at Rothman Orthopedics, the minimally invasive spine institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. Visit RothmanSpine.com. Adam Schefter from ESPN. Adam, first off, how you feeling? You feeling better? You're a little under the weather last week.
Yeah, I feel a little bit better. I think I sound a little bit better, a little bit. Not fully well, but well enough to do this and well enough to work and well enough to go on with life. So all good. Thank you.
You sound like a million damn dollars, Adam. Sound like a million damn dollars.
I don't know about $1 million, but I certainly sound better than I did last week.
Adam, we're looking for a new offensive coordinator here in Philadelphia, as you well know. It's not a good look. At least I don't think it is when Mike Kafka is not interviewing for the position, whether or not he's blocked by Andy Reid or not, as there's a report out there. Then there's also Graham Harrell of USC, who interviewed but kind of said thanks but no thanks. What are you kind of getting right now as to a vibe about the Eagles' offensive coordinator position?
Well, first of all, I would say this. Andy Reid never would let Mike Kafka go until that contract's up. And why would Mike Kafka go when he's heavily involved there and Andy brought him there? He was never going to be the offensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles in my mind. I mean, I just can't believe that anybody would think that was realistic. So we move on from Mike Kafka. And I just think that there's a lot of guys, and Doug is heavily involved. And so I don't think that they feel the need to rush this, and they're taking their time. And so you say it's not a good look. I don't care how it looks. I care who they hire.
Sure.
And they're going about the process of finding a guy that they believe is going to be the right fit here. And I don't know or think that they've been close to hiring anybody so far. And I honestly don't know who it's going to be at this point in time. It is interesting and curious. But I really believe they'll come up with somebody that is a worthy candidate and he'll work out well.
So you don't think it's anything where people are looking at that, the fact that they wouldn't be calling plays or that a bit? Okay.
No. I don't believe that at all. You get to work for a good organization with a good quarterback, with good people all around. That's a desirable job. It's not like the job is scaring away people. And so I don't buy that at all. I think that many people will want that job. And so I don't think that's an issue.
Yeah, so we've talked about all morning, basically. We've talked about that you have a quarterback here. You have an offensive line here. You have a running back here. You have some talent at wide receivers. A lot of money is taken up there, and there's some injury issues with Sean Jackson last year and Alshon Jeffrey. But really, in your opinion, what would be a negative about taking a position with the Eagles?
There is no negative. I mean, if you're Mike Kafka, you're not going to leave that situation. That's a negative. Like, it's like a lateral kind of move for an offense that's not as good. But I don't think that there's a negative to taking it. Like, again, you said, Mark, that it doesn't look good and there's a negative. But I don't think there's a negative vibe to this at all. I don't think that. I think that they're taking their time and they're making sure that they come up with a worthy candidate.
All right. Do you think that there's even a favorite at this point, like a Deuce Staley even?
I honestly don't know. I would tell you if I did. I don't know the answer to that. I would just say that if Deuce Staley were the favorite, don't you think it would have been done by now?
Yeah, I would think so. But again, due diligence and take your time and all that just to bring in other candidates. I mean, it's not like they don't. Like, do they need to set up a formal interview with Deuce Staley?
No.
Exactly.
Exactly what they have. And that's why I think for this to have gone on as long as it has, and it's not Deuce Staley now, it tells me that it's not going to be Deuce Staley in the end. Now, I could be wrong about that. Maybe I'll be surprised, but you're going to turn around and hire Deuce Staley on January 22nd when you've been looking to fill this opening for a couple of weeks or whatever it is, and he hasn't been tagged as the guy. And yes, you want to be thorough. You want to be diligent. You want to look at those candidates, talk to as many people as you can, and get many different ideas and perspectives. But again, the fact of the matter is, if you felt so good about Deuce Staley being the offensive coordinator, it would have been done just like that, and it hasn't been.
Shefty, a lot of talk over the last couple of days has been about Andy Reid getting to his second Super Bowl, first time, you know, without the Eagles. And just can you talk about the reputation he has, how Andy Reid is viewed in the NFL? Because I'm sure we have different feelings here in Philadelphia than other places, but just generally how he's looked at in the NFL.
Well, I think he's one of the most respected figures in the NFL. I think people love Andy, and they know everything that he's been through. And, you know, I'd be curious to know the overwhelming feeling on him on Philadelphia. I would think it would be one of good feeling. You correct me if I'm wrong. And I know that people felt like he couldn't get him over the top. But I just think there are a lot of people pulling for him to get that last little accomplishment that has avoided him throughout the course of his career. And if he can do that, it would be a huge thing for him. I think a lot of people want to see him do it. And, you know, he's a football lifer. He's given his life to the NFL. And what is the general feeling summarized on Andy and Philadelphia? It's good, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you this, Adam, because I know this is going to come out, and it might not be. It's not going to be from you, because you're a man of knowledge, my friend. It might come from other people that just want to rip Philly. But we have about 85% of our voting audience have a very positive feeling about Andy Reid right now going into his second Super Bowl. So it's not like people are rooting against Andy so that he loses a Super Bowl. People want him to win in this city.
Well, so my question would be, what is the issue that the other 15% have with him?
Well, they still live in the past, and they feel as if the 14 years he spent here did zero good for our franchise and our organization, when I acknowledge that it absolutely did, and it seems like most people are willing to acknowledge, like, for instance, Trey here and the wonderful work he put in here under Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
Trey, how'd you like playing for Andy?
I loved it.
Okay. And how would you say the rest of your teammates, would you say that there were people that didn't like Andy that you played with or worked with?
He probably got one or two, but I think for the most part, everybody really enjoyed their time here.
Yeah, I think, look, you're never going to please all the people all the time, but I think generally speaking, he's universally liked. You know, most people really like him, and those 15% that aren't rooting for him or don't like him or however you want to categorize it, the fact of the matter is he elevated that franchise, or at least he helped elevate that franchise to a certain spot that it didn't have before. I think the Eagles right now are thought of as one of the best franchises in the NFL. And I don't know that that was the case when Andy took over the job. What year was he was hired in 1998, 99?
99, yeah.
99. Mm-hmm. So the Eagles' perception in 99, I believe this beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he left that franchise in much better shape than when he took it over.
There's zero debate. I mean, that's a fact. I mean, it's just much better off than it was when he took it over. I definitely understand that. I think most people are willing to at least acknowledge that much. But the other thing is, I want to get to real quick before when we go back to the offensive coordinator position, Adam. You had put it out there that Dan Orlovsky has gotten calls from people around the league to take on a coaching role. Do you know what role that might have been? Or could be?
I'll say this. He's gotten calls about interesting positions. There have been teams that have called him about quarterback coaching jobs. And I even believe that one or two of them may have brought up offensive coordinator. I don't know if they were willing to go there. And I personally think that that's what it would take to get him out of the TV booth or out of the analyst role, whatever you want to say.
A coordinator role.
Well, I think that's what it would take.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Eventually. And by the way, maybe nobody's going to, yeah, that's fine. Dan's very comfortable and happy and set, you know, working as an analyst on TV, doing that. And if nobody steps up with an offer, and I don't mean financially, I'm talking about as a role.
Sure.
That he feels like it's worth leaving TV for, he'll continue to do what he's doing. And that's fine.
All right, Adam. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But he has spoken to teams about quarterback coaching jobs. And I think if someone stepped up forward with a GM job, an offensive coordinator job, that would interest him.
All right. Speaking with Adam Schefter here from ESPN, Schefty, if I would have told you 30 some years ago when you started covering the NFL that the NFL draft would be held in Las Vegas. In the Bellagio Lake, where draftees would be delivered by boat to a stage to shake hands with the commissioner and bro hug them and then go on to their NFL teams, what would you have told me those 30 years ago?
Well, I wouldn't have believed that. I mean, it's hard to imagine. You know, just, you know, the league frowned on Vegas. Like, you weren't allowed to do anything in Vegas. You couldn't step foot in that area. The league wanted nothing to do with it. And so now the league is embracing it, and it's a part of the league, and the league's happy to have Vegas, and here we are, and everything's hunky-dory. So, it's pretty amazing. And it just goes to show you, in this world, nothing stays the same. And if there's money to be made, the NFL is going to be right there.
Can I give you the greatest homer take you might have ever heard ever in your career?
Go ahead.
My take was, when I saw the photo, I was like, look what the NFL has to try and do in order to try and beat Philadelphia's draft in 2017. They have to go to Vegas and put it on a lake.
Well, but let me say this to you. As a guy who lives in New York, you know, the draft used to be here every single year.
Sure.
And it was just another event in New York. Nobody cared. And one of the best things that the league has done, and the league has made its fair share of mistakes, we know that, but one of the best things the league has done is move the draft around from city to city, because this is not going to be in Philadelphia. When it was in Philadelphia, it was a huge event there. And when it was in Chicago, it was a huge event there. When it was in Dallas, huge event there. When it was in, where was it last year? It was
Nashville.
Nashville.
It was a huge event there. And in Vegas, it's become like a off-season Super Bowl for a city to host. And every city gets fired up about it, and it becomes a huge deal. And so now, wherever the NFL takes a draft, it's not going to take it where it's not met without enthusiasm. It's a huge deal, as it was in Philadelphia. And in New York, frankly, nobody really cared that much.
Right.
And so now the draft has become a huge... Like, last year in Nashville, that street, I think it's Broadway, like, I've got videos on my phone. You wouldn't believe what it looked like. It was unbelievable. And Philadelphia, the same thing. And so the draft has always been a huge event on the NFL offseason calendar for all of us people that love that, and we know how important it is. But, I mean, it's an event in that city now. And the league deserves the credit for shifting it there.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Schefty, always great catching up with you, man. Thanks so much. I know we'll talk to you next week, Wednesday, when we get with the Super Bowl and all that.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe by this time next week, maybe the Eagles will actually have an offensive coordinator. You never know.
Maybe. There seems to be no down point or no down part of taking the role.
Never know. We'll see. We'll keep our fingers crossed for them and hope it works out.
All right, Shefty, thanks so much, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You as well, man. I appreciate it. How about that? Shefty going with no down point. No bad thing about taking the, no negative aspect.
There it is.
Of taking the Eagles offensive coordinator. Right. And that's what makes the most sense to me. Especially if you're a younger guy and you don't have to call plays. Look, I know that sounds like, oh, I want the control calling plays. I get it.
You can ease into it.
Yeah, you could ease into it just a little bit. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll get a little bit more in that offensive coordinator position. Time at the Fanatic, 8:15.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
That is interesting when you hear it from a national perspective like Adam Schefter. Yeah, there's no negative to taking the Eagles offensive coordinator job. That's what I thought. First assumption. When they moved on from Mike Groh. Heck, when we fired Mike Groh, like in week 6 of the season, I guess it was.
Yeah.
We're like, they can do better than this guy. It's an easy role to fill. Carson Wentz, offensive line, Miles Sanders. Like, it was easy. 2 years ago, he won a Super Bowl. Turns out, not that easy. And how about that? Andy Reid being like, Mike Kafka's not leaving here. What, are you kidding me? I guess if Eric Bieniemy does move on, just slide right on up there, Mike Kafka.
Where's he moving on to?
It's a great question.
Well, that's what I was thinking, and I looked this up earlier. Andy's only 61 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 21 years in the league, so, you know, we hired him early. Philadelphia hired him early.
He was the young stud.
Yeah, but 21 years in the league is a lot of years. I mean, we've seen Andy's, I assume he's in good health, but we've seen his weight go up and down. He's really big right now. You know, what if he does win it? What if he maybe there is a little bit of talk that he might move on after getting the ultimate goal? I don't know. Trey, as you've said many times and so many other people have, but you know it firsthand, he's given his life. Yeah. And so many sacrifices in his personal life to be a football lifer that, I don't know, maybe this is the ultimate goal, and I'm just, you know, throwing stuff out there, but that he wins this game, then maybe that's why Mike Kafka's sticking around, because maybe there's a hint that Andy might call it a career.
Wow. I love that conspiracy theory.
I thought of it earlier when the Kafka thing, oh, no, he's not going to go. You know, maybe, you know, I don't know. I have no idea at all. But 61, 21 years in the league, you finally get that ultimate goal. Could it be a time where Andy says, you know what? I've given everything I can. I don't know.
But that's interesting. I would doubt it.
So would I.
For me, even, look, 21 years in the league, 61 years old, to bow out now with when you have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. I mean, if I'm Andy Reid and you win this Super Bowl, it's not a question of, oh, wow, whether or not I can win my first one. It's how many I can win.
I hear you on that.
Like, imagine Andy Reid retiring as a 3-time Super Bowl champion coach. Like, that's not impossible with that quarterback in Kansas City right now. That's not far from impossible at all.
No, I mean, he's got the trajectory of, like, the best of all time right now. Like, that's not a hot take.
He's 61 years old and he's hitting his stride.
No, I meant Mahomes.
No, so but I understand.
To stay with Mahomes.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was an MVP in his first year.
First year as a starter.
I mean, you don't just walk away from that without, you know, sleeping on it for a couple weeks.
Andy Reid goes 20 years, okay? This is his 21st year. Goes 20 years as the guy that can't win the big game.
Now he's going to win 4 out of 5.
And let's say he coaches for like another 5 years and wins, you know, let's let him win his first Super Bowl. But yeah. I'm just saying, in the nth degree we go here, for the reason to hang on and keep coaching is that you could retire as a guy that, oh, Andy Reid, another but win.
You know, the irony of all this is if the Eagles do get back to that, you know, level of contention, which, you know, they have every possibility to do, they very well might have to go through Andy Reid and the Chiefs for the next 4 or 5 years. Doug Peterson versus Andy Reid could be a real possibility down the line.
Wow. Do you want to coach in a game?
Because, I mean, Brady's undetermined where he's going. The Patriots dynasty is, you know, it's still competitive and they'll still be annoying, but it's not like they're a shoo-in every year anymore.
Yeah, I think that dynasty is done.
Yeah, so do I.
Really
do. But
the way their offense looked this year.
With Belichick, you can never rule him dead. The guy's Dracula.
Yeah.
But Kraft just said to a bunch of fans, I think it was in New York, he was like, don't worry, Brady's coming back. It's like, all right there. Where are you off to, Dangler?
The KC looks like the new road for the AFC to go through, at least for the next couple of years. That's a really talented team.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out, obviously. But imagine a Super Bowl where Doug Peterson and Deuce Daly's offense are coaching
Andy Reid
and Mike Kafka. Yeah. Imagine the Super Bowl matchup. That's everyone.
Is Jeremy Bloom the special teams coordinator?
It's not the Super Bowl we want. It's the Super Bowl we need. Let's get... John, this is a great topic here real quick. John, you want to talk about the cheating scandal here in baseball?
I just saw an article online talking about how the L.A. City Council is urging that Major League Baseball to strip the Astros and the Red Sox of the World Series titles, giving it to the Dodgers. How absurd.
Oh, no. No, it's beautiful. Oh, come on, John. Enjoy every second of it. Major League Baseball says to all the teams, don't say a damn thing. So then Los Angeles says, well, if the team can't say anything, we're going to say something. And now they're motioning for MLB to vacate the championships that were lost by the Dodgers. Is a beautiful thing.
I mean, wouldn't you say that that's going to, that just makes Major League Baseball look like a joke at that point? Oh, we're just going to give these World Series to the Dodgers?
That's correct.
And what?
I don't think they're, motioning for them to get the World Series. I thought they were just motioning for them to vacate the titles.
No, they're talking about vacating the title.
To the Dodgers. Yeah.
I didn't see that part of it. Okay. That's pretty stupid, but I still enjoy it.
And then one more point. It's about the Phillies. So I moved into Philadelphia in 2008, and I kind of looked back that year, and it seemed like the ownership was willing to spend an absolute absurd amount of money. And then this offseason, it seemed like that's the direction they were going, and they just put the brakes on. And I wanted to hear y'all's opinion about kind of why do you think, you know, what's changed since 2008 to now in regards to ownership for the Phillies?
Everything. In all honesty,
since 2008,
are you talking about philosophy, or are you talking
just ownership? Like, I'm sorry, I'm actually asking for more knowledge, not anything else.
John, thanks for the call. Well, what's happened is you've had a total change in ownership, pretty much. I mean, yes, John Middleton was still a part of that ownership group, but I mean, I remember arguing with people that Middleton was going to make this push to be the guy that was really leading the charge. And people got pissed at me. They're like, oh, no, they can't. They have the Buck Cousins. They had, I forget the woman's name, no disrespect, but I just remember her as the woman with the dogs, that she would come to the ownership meetings. I'm not kidding. And there was a couple other people that were involved as well. And John Middleton started buying guys out. And true, I believe it is written in stone, more or less, that they can't have one owner of the team until they decide as a group to sell. Not that they think they're doing that or would ever do that in the near future. But John Middleton just seemed to be the guy that was aggressive. And then Mike Sielski put out the story that changed everything. And when he said to Ryan Howard after the 09 series, I want my bleeping trophy back, everyone, who's this John Middleton guy? And then slowly but surely, you have the late, great David Montgomery, who stepped aside into an emeritus role. John Middleton came more to the forefront and even said in his more or less introductory press conference, this ownership group needs a face. It has, and he's become that face, and him and the Buck Cousins have become the triumvirate, to use John Middleton's words, not mine, the triumvirate of the Phillies ownership. So it's changed wholeheartedly, and really throwing their money at the free agents they've thrown the money at, Bryce Harper, bringing in Roy Halladay for a trade, bringing back Cliff Lee. Things have changed substantially as far as Philly's ownership goes. But as far as this offseason goes, all right, Zach Wheeler, Didi Gregorius, Drew Storen was added yesterday in a trade.
Hey, don't forget minor league deal, Bud Norris.
Bud Norris added
Now
there's a name I forgot existed.
I mean, flip Storen and Norris right now for Nolan Arenado, you cowards. But seriously, there's two stud third basemen out there for the taking. Chris Bryant, you know, his arbitration got settled, but there's still some rumblings that he's unhappy, and Nolan Arenado is straight up coming out to the media and saying, get me out of here. So he'll be traded by the deadline. It's hard not to think, do it.
Sure.
Put Alec Bohm at first place and Rhys Hoskins, see ya.
Trade?
Yeah.
See you later?
Well, hopefully he plays himself up and ups his value after last year. But yeah, if Nolan Arenado's out there,
Someone's telling me on Twitch that he can't vacate titles. I understand that. Like, I'm never one to
it
be
happened
like,
in wrestling before. So
did AC Slater lose his face side?
That's
a
precedent.
Title?
You know, you could. I think it was The Rock, actually.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, because when he left to go act or something, I think he just vacated the title.
You know, I actually thought of you, Bob, while I was doing my research on that Graham Harrell fella.
Is that right?
For USA, because he's a big WWE fan.
Oh.
And his coaching staff, more or less, they got him a video of Triple H thanking him for his loyalty to WWE wrestling.
Oh, that's sweet. Right.
And,
yeah.
And he says, cool. I just have two words for you, coach.
I know what they...
Thank you. And then they presented him with a WWE championship belt.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm not going to regret not hiring Graham Harrell the offensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. But Bob, there is a huge, huge Sixers game tonight.
Yes.
And you can hear it right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. They are in Toronto. They are taking on the Raptors. And we want to know whether or not Ben Simmons can do anything similar to the performance that he was able to put together in Brooklyn the other night against the Nets. Triple-double, the NBA historic numbers that he posted with his points, his assists, and his rebounds, and his steals. 5 steals, 12 rebounds, 12 assists, 34 points in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Can he do anything similar against the Raptors? I say he has to tonight. Similar.
Here's a number for you, all right? Forget. Here's the number that I need to see. Higher than 13. That's the amount of shots he needs to take tonight. Higher than 13. We can't have a fadeaway 5-for-8. We can't have that. He needs to be an offensive force tonight. If it means missing shots, so be it. But he has to be a guy that really goes to the basket again tonight, opens things up for others. But first and foremost, and if I'm Brett Brown, I'm telling him this, look to score. Look to score, just like you did the other night. Look to attack the rim. Passing is secondary. I want you to score first. And tonight's going to be a little bit harder. Like I said before, you have Marc Gasol, you have Serge Ibaka clogging up lanes and stuff like that defensively. Siakam, who's a really good athlete also. So it'll be interesting how Brett uses them tonight, 4 or 5, like you brought up earlier, Mark, or if he's just the primary ball handler. But I want him attacking the rim. I want it be known to Ben Simmons, you need to be our primary scorer tonight.
13 is the number?
13. I want upwards. I want 13. I need more than 13 shots tonight from him.
See, now, Trey, I got to say, I'm a little surprised by that number.
Mm-hmm. A little high for you?
No, the shot total for Ben Simmons to me doesn't matter as much.
Well, it goes into the way he plays the game to me. So if he is getting 13 or more shots, he's being that aggressive Ben Simmons.
All right.
And then I think that leads to everything else.
All right, so that all agrees. See, the reason I don't look at his shots is because his shots are all the same to me. Like, I know there's the baby hook, and then there's the dunk, and there's the layup, and all that. But you're right, he's going to the basket, he's making that effort, right?
Right, right.
But the number that I'm going to look at, for really the same reason, is 13 free throws, or 14 free throws, or 12 free throws. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? If he gets those free throws, that also means he's doing what you're saying. He's attacking the rim. He's being aggressive. He's going after it. And you know what? Let's build on some confidence here. You just had one of the best free throw performances of your career, Ben did the other night against the Nets. 71% from the free throw line, 10 of 14. Do those numbers again, and the other numbers are going to come along. If he goes to the rim and he finishes and he gets the old-fashioned three-pointer, as they say, and he goes to the line and he draws that foul, then not only are you going to get the Raptors in foul trouble earlier in this game, hopefully, but you're also going to be stacking some points for yourself. Maybe you take the load off of a guy like Tobias Harris if he continues to struggle. Maybe you take the load off a guy like Furkan Korkmaz if he's not going to stay as hot or in rhythm as he has been over the last couple of games. Ben Simmons can do a lot of alleviating of pressure in a big game like this against the Raptors, I think.
Quick glance just shows me that 11 times this year, Ben Simmons has taken more than 13 in a game.
11 times?
11. That's not all. I can. I'll get a record. For
I thought that was ready for the other. And
last three games, he shot over 14, 15, and 17 last three games, and 13, and they're
4-0. Oh, I mean, he is the Eastern Conference Player of the Week.
Yes.
Yes.
And not too shabby. Raul in Chalfont. What's up, Raul?
Good. How are you doing?
I just want to make sure it's Raul and not Howell.
It's Raul.
My man.
Yeah. I was in India for 2 months, and I was there for my wedding, and I used to get up at 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. every morning just to watch the Eagles and Sixers.
Oh, wow.
And I would wear my Carson Wentz jersey in India all the time. And people in India, they're crazy in cricket, just like Philadelphia fans are crazy in sports.
Now, let me ask you this, Raul. Is there a Philly bar in India I should know about?
Yeah, there's some Philly bars down there. Like,
really?
Yeah. There's some... I saw some people wearing, Sixers jerseys and yeah.
Worldwide.
They're worldwide, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
There you go. Wide.
Talking about the Super Bowl, I'm supporting Andy Reid because he used to coach the Eagles, and I think I want Andy Reid to get his first Super Bowl.
I think a lot of people are on that ship with you, my friend. Raul, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. I am pleasantly surprised that people are feeling positive about Andy Reid in this city. They want him to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The vast majority, 85%, I'll refer to it again, 85% of our voting audience want Andy Reid to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, why not?
Let's party.
Yeah, I'm supporting it.
When we get a little closer, I would hope so.
Gotta support Big Red. Get it, Big Red.
When we get closer to it, so next week, we'll just basically say, we'll ask the question, do you want Andy Reid to win a Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Flat out. We won't dice it. It'll just be yes or no.
9-2.
No, 9-2. That's the Sixers record.
When he shoots more than 13 times, Sixers are 9-2.
Okay.
Go, Andy Reid.
That was quick. Yeah, right. That was quick, Bob.
There you go.
That's like a whole night assignment for me. My attention span. That's good work out of you. We got Dante in the Northeast. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. All right, coming up, we'll look more into the Sixers game. But, Trey, on that Andy Reid note, Alain Vigneault, I believe is how he's preferring.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It's A-V. Very difficult.
It's Alain. Oh, it's Alain for me.
Coach V.
Yeah.
A-V.
I mean, we got to get it right. He is a friend of the program.
Big friend.
He calls me Konechny. So that's good.
Not for nothing, Trey. That might be rivaling Zeus.
Okay.
Or Big Can of Thunder.
Yeah.
Konechny. That might be up there a little bit. But we tossed this around a little bit earlier, but I want to get into it a little bit more here. So Kevin Hayes came out after the game last night and said that Alain Vigneault.
By the way, that penalty kill by Hayes where he had the puck for like 19 seconds.
And circled back in the neutral zone?
Yeah, it was just like toying with people.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
It was nothing short of spectacular. But last night, this is really interesting. Kevin Hayes comes out after the game and says that he's not the type of coach that pampers players, and that's kind of what you need as a player. One of the things I appreciate about Alain Vigneault is that he is not a yeller, and he doesn't seem to be a guy that like, gets in players' faces. He's intense, but he does it without screaming, and that's a whole other kind of, threat level.
Yeah.
We'll get into that in a minute here because it certainly grabs his players' attention. 610-632-0975. Dante and open lines after that. Time of the Fanatic is 8:42.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You know, we should have Lisa Ann on the show.
Yeah, we should.
She's a fantasy football expert.
And we're going to. I've already been in the email works about it.
There we go.
What, were you like waiting for my birthday to tell me? What was going on here?
Yeah, she does a fantasy football show on Sirius XM.
You know, we're good friends.
Oh, really?
Lisa and I. Yeah, absolutely. Oh,
well, I believe it's next Thursday she'll be in.
She'll be in studio.
I believe so, yes. Well, we're confirming that shortly, but yes.
She, her and I, we went back and forth on Twitter once or twice about basketball. Because she's obviously a big sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
And she is now a fantasy. She's now a fantasy football expert.
Who's this lady? I missed it.
Lisa Ann.
Yeah?
Where'd
she come from? What's the deal?
She was not a porn guy.
She was an actor. Well, I wasn't going to tell him. And I believe it's erotica, Jamie.
Sorry.
She's a football expert. It's really
cool.
She's actually in the running for the Eagles offensive coordinator position. But she is. She's a former adult film actress.
Shows you which
former?
To hit.
Former. Ah. You got to retire at some point, right?
I guess.
Then you got to go into a life of fantasy football.
I guess. I don't know. What do you mean? You got to retire somehow.
Robert!
What do you mean you got to retire? Why you got to retire?
Robert!
As offensive coordinator, it's all about drawing up the plays and showing the running backs which holes to hit.
Good point.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Kyle Shanahan.
I mean, for real.
Those holes were everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to be able to tell the offensive lineman how to protect.
You only passed seven times.
You got to protect those different gaps.
Great blocking schemes.
Yeah. You got A, B, C, you know. It's a lot of different gaps there.
You were really excited on the way into work today, from what I understand. You saw something.
Beg your pardon?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, we're talking football here.
Yeah, we're talking football.
What did you see on your way to work today?
I'm driving to work, and I noticed, for whatever reason, I just looked up, and there was a Bud Light truck right there. You know, they have the Philly, they have the play drawn up on the back.
Oh, yes. Cool.
And the center position was a square.
Oh, they did it right.
So I'm driving. I'm like, I got to take a picture. Wait a minute, I got to look out for this guardrail. But I'm getting this picture of this, yes. So my job here is done. You know, the square is now at the center position where it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that draws football plays knows that the center position is a square.
You had taken exception with a lot of people that got the Philly special tattoo.
Just anybody with just even shirts, hats.
Yeah, anything. And you're like, wait, no, there's no... Wait, square. But the center is supposed to be a square.
It has to be a square.
And it drove you nuts.
Yes, it was bothering me. It was a big bother, but I'm glad. But like, they listen to what we say.
Well, speaking of coaching, my friend,
yes.
You've talked at length about how great a coach Andy Reid was and a great player's coach, and you'd play for him to this day and all that, and you love the guy, and I get it. And that's been what every player pretty much has ever played for Andy Reid has said. And he makes it to his second Super Bowl. Everybody comes out of the woodwork to say, congratulations, coach. That's my guy. I pointed out Jeremy Maclin, who Andy Reid went to Jeremy Macklin's wedding and then cut him like 2 weeks later. And still Jeremy Maclin, oh, Big Red, good job. Made it to the Super Bowl. So you talk about guys that hold players accountable behind the scenes, and you often said that it wasn't coming out in the press conference, but it was certainly coming out, in the locker room where he'd be holding players accountable. Well, Alain Vigneault, as apparently his name is pronounced now, Alain Vigneault comes out, and we talked to him a couple of weeks ago, or a couple of months ago now, where he just said, I'm going to be an honest coach. That's how I'm going to be. No matter what, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to be mean. I'm not going to be over the top. I'm just going to be honest. And Bob, the line that resonated with you the most was that he said he needed more. He loved James Van Riemsdyk, the player, or excuse me, James Van Riemsdyk, the person, and he loved Jake Voracek, the person, but he needed more from the hockey player.
Love that line.
Brilliant. And then Kevin Hayes comes out after last night's game and says what a great fit Alain Vigneault is for the city of Philadelphia. And he also played for Vigneault, by the way, in New York as a member of the Rangers. He said he's a great coach. He's on top 10 lists, I believe. This is what Kevin Hayes is saying. Just going to keep it, he's only going to go higher and higher. He tells you how it is. He's not going to sugarcoat anything. And he lets you know when you're playing well. He also lets you know when you're playing bad. He demands the best from his players. And as a player, that's what you need. Not a college or junior anymore. What you need to do is listen to a head coach that does not pamper you.
Mm-hmm.
I think every player wants honesty.
Yeah.
And Trey, I've interviewed ex-athletes, and we've certainly we've had conversations about this in the past. A lot of ex-athletes, they want coaching.
Yeah.
Like when they go into the whatever, if it's a radio field, if it's a TV field,
people in like the more corporate type America, they don't know how to have those conversations. But players, they're used to guys being upfront, being honest, and really the results are right there. Oh, Trey's not getting it done at left tackle. Next! Mm-hmm. Like, that's just how it works. And it happens a lot faster than it would in any other walk of life, because in the regular world, there's red tape, there's HR getting involved before somebody has to change a position. But for this, a coach has to be upfront. A coach has to be honest, not sugarcoat things to a player. That's not what you want as an athlete.
No, absolutely. I want a coach that's going to be honest with me. I mean, you know, if he sees that I'm slacking, hey, look, I need you to pick it up. You know, if he feels that I'm, you know, feeling sorry for myself or got a little injury and whatever, and he's like, hey, now, you know, I need you to push through that because the team needs you. So I have no problem with a coach being extremely honest with me, because as a player, that's what's going to make me, it's going to make you better. And if you have a problem with that as a player, maybe, you know, the game isn't for you.
You always say that maybe we're not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think every athlete, they want to have things up front and just right there between the eyes. No. They just want to know exactly where they stand at all times. And I think that's why Vino is really, I think, hit really close to home with a lot of people in Philadelphia, is because he is that honest guy. I always joke that we're the city that tells you, yeah, those pants make you look fat. You know what I'm saying? That's how Vino is with his players. He's that open and honest.
You know, it's funny. That's how my dad raised us. He always made it a point to say, look, I set rules because it makes your life easier. You know, there's one line, the rule line. You do this. If you don't do it, you're on that side of it. It makes your life easier, and that way it makes you happier. When you're a coach and you're trying to get the most out of a player, I always thought when you tell them to do something, you want them to want to do it. I think the way AV handles it, like when he says something like that, I think of Voracek and whoever else it was are like, yeah, you know what? Good. I want to play for him. I want to get better. I do need
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.